Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway North Church based out of Winnipeg, Canada. Your Sunday sermon, any day of the week.
So this morning, in a move towards more becoming more practical, and I think very often as speakers, we have a way of wanting to dwell into the theological exposition of the text. But here at Gateway, we're trying to move into more of a practical way of helping each one of you move into the Mondays to Fridays and to Saturdays in a way that the message is relevant to you. This is the season of the year. If you didn't, but you are most likely planning already your Christmas event as a family. How many of you are planning Christmas gatherings already? Yeah, there's a whole bunch of you. Just to think about that, this is October. It can actually become, for some families, very stressful to think about Christmas. While it should be a very joyous occasion, it actually becomes painful because there's planning around a family Christmas gatherings. For Marianne and myself, okay, this is not what Peter wrote. This is what Albert says now. Okay. For Marianne and myself, it's very simple. We do not have an extended family here in the city of Winnipeg. So we do have three adult children. They are married and their spouses, and we do have 10 grandchildren. So it's very simple for us as a family. We say that December 24th Eve, it's going to be at our home. And whatever else you want to do, that is up to you. But Christmas Eve is ours. Now, do you feel the tension already? Who spoke? Delbert spoke. This is how it's going to be. But for some of you, and I know that it's not always going to be that easy to be able to establish a Christmas family gathering without some form of stress. And if you resemble more like a tribe, that is to say, your family is a tribe, this becomes really complicated. Would you not say so? It gets complicated. It's stressful just to plan out the season and how to know when to get together and when not to get together. However, for some of you whose families more closely resemble the tribe, you may have to learn how to make good decisions during this time of the year. And we want to talk about that this morning. It's like, how do you arrive at a place when you are faced with some difficult circumstances and decisions have to be made? Somewhere it has to land. So somewhere someone has to make a decision where the Christmas gathering is going to happen. And so you want to talk about this morning is, how do you make decisions that are very closely related to the heart? This is where your passion comes in. This is where your convictions come in. And you feel very convicted in a certain way. And you have to make a decision. So we're going to look at this morning, and if you have your Bibles with you, or if you're on your app, on your phone, we're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we are in a series called Cross Culture. How do we live out Christ-likeness in a world that is counterculture to the way that Jesus has called us to live? So we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And before we actually get in reading that passage this morning, I just want to kind of talk a little bit more about how do we make those good decisions when circumstances are adverse. How do you deal the decision making when a job opportunity comes up, which means you would have to relocate your family to a different city or a different part of the country? How do you make that decision? When children are in school and they love the friends that they have, how do you make that decision? How do you make that decision when your teenager says that he is dating someone and that person is in question? How do you go about helping your child make a right decision? Or for some of you, that may be also a decision, is to say, which church should we go on Sunday morning? That's common for many of you. Probably you know that Gateway is your home church, but for some other people, that is a big decision. Which church should we go to this morning? Or just simply saying, we're going to buy a bigger home. Yeah, right. Or we're going to downsize. And one of the spouses says, not really, we're not going to do that. Or what about this one, when you go to a store and you're looking at a piece of furniture and you say, oh, I've always wanted that piece of furniture in my home. I've dreamt about that my whole life. And the spouse says, How come I never knew about that? That you were dreaming about it for your whole life. And your credit card is maxed out. How do you make that decision when you say, all my life I've been dreaming about having that furniture piece? How do you do that? So life choices that allow from within our hearts to make decisions, they are really entangled with passions and convictions that are personal. How do you deal with that? So let's turn our Bibles, and we're going to be reading from chapter 1 out of 2 Corinthians, starting verse 12. So we're going to look at some of the practical ways of how to make decisions this morning. Paul says the following, "For our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world," and you want to underline, "with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and supremely so towards you." Paul is writing, this seems to be a struggle within the church in Corinth. He says, supremely to you, I'm going to be the best that I can. For we are not writing to you anything other than what we read and understand and hope you will fully understand. Just as you did partially understand us, that one day of our Lord Jesus will boast of us as we all boast of you. Because I was sure of this, and here's the tension within the story of this morning. I wanted to come to you first, so that you might have a second experience of grace, and it seems to be there was a tension in the church in Corinth and Paul. I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia, and I come back to you from Macedonia, and have sent me on my way to Judea. And here is kind of like what is happening in the in-between of the story. Was I vacillating, Paul says, when I wanted to do this? Do I make my plans, and you want to underline, according to the flesh? Ready to say yes, yes, or no, no. And at the same time, as surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been just yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, and then Silvanus and Timothy, his partners and I, was not yes and no. But then he underlined, but in him it is always yes. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen and God for his glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ, and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our heart as a guarantee. But I called God to witness against me. It was to spare you that I refrained from coming again to Corinth. You can almost notice and hear that Paul, if he would have come and see them face to face, probably he would have lashed out to them. So he says, God spared me from that. So not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, for you stand firm in your faith. It almost has a connotation of Paul boasting or having to explain him away how he arrived at making the decision not to go or to go to visit the church in Corinth. But really, if you would read the text over and over again, you would almost find that actually Paul is fighting to really build up a broken relationship that he had with the church in Corinth, or the church in Corinth felt that Paul had overstepped his boundaries. And so he is ready to fight for the relationship. And then obviously Paul was the apostolic leader in their hearts, because it was Paul who had introduced him to Jesus. And seemingly in the background, the text doesn't say that, there was a story of some other super apostles who claimed to have more power or more authority than Paul. And Paul having to defend himself in this letter, saying, listen, listen carefully. I love you. I love you intimately, and I want to make it right. I want to make it right. Paul feels that he needs to explain himself over and over again. And he says that really, I wanted to come not once, but twice. But somehow things didn't pan out the way it's supposed to be. Has that ever happened to you? Like you make a decision, but then somehow it didn't fall in agreement with those people that you were planning the Christmas gathering. And somehow you left alone with a voice and you feel like, I think I was misunderstood. And so Paul says, I want to go back once and twice and I wanted to explain it to you again. The reason why I feel so passionately about you. So how do you and I make decisions that come from the heart? And that's my first point this morning. How do you make hard choices that will help you to gain back the trust and the relationship with the people that you live with and have life with? The number one thing that I want to talk about, and Paul talks about that, is that you need to simply acknowledge what is in your heart. What is in your heart? Paul knew his own heart and he was honest with them about it. Even though he left them vulnerable, he remembers this and he wrote the letter. He wrote the letter to the Corinth church. But the fact is that he couldn't deliver this letter to them personally and say it face to face what he wanted to say. So he sent Titus and Timothy, and then he says, would you please read this to the church in Corinth? Now, there's a huge disadvantage for Paul because he could not defend himself. While people will be talking about him, he couldn't come back and say, let me explain it again to you why I have made that decision. But rather, Paul could have asserted himself and say, well, listen, I am your spiritual father. I introduced you to Jesus in first place. I should not have to explain away why I'm not coming this time to visit you. He could have trumped the card. He could have said, this is just how it's going to be. But he didn't. He didn't. He chose simply to be vulnerable and honest in sharing his heart. He says, I wanted to come right away. Don't you hear me? I wanted to come. I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia. And then again on my way back from Macedonia, I wanted to. It almost seems like he wanted to come twice, but he didn't. Paul could have said, why be vulnerable when my leadership is being questioned? Why be vulnerable? So when we are faced with big decisions, when you are in a place of a crossroad of making an important decision in your life, and it would be a hard decision, how important it is just simply to be honest. Just simply to be honest with yourself. Just be honest. Here's a point in case regarding coming back to how do we make decisions about Christmas gatherings or family gatherings around Christmas. So listen to this. One spouse says to the other, you know what? Do you know about the invitation of great aunt Erna on December the 3rd? I don't think it's going to work, because we have two other appointments that week, and I think we're going to drop that one with Aunt Erna. It's not going to work. So you pause, and you feel the tension already, because he made it a statement to say, no, it's not going to work, because we have two other more things that week, so it's not going to work at all. You could almost feel the tension because you don't know what is actually he's thinking in his heart. You don't know why he said what he said. Is it possible that he doesn't like Aunt Erna's food? Is it possible? Yeah, it is possible he doesn't like to eat the food that Aunt Erna has at the table. Or simply said, he doesn't like the company that Aunt Erna surrounds herself at the table. And he says, I feel very uncomfortable, hence I don't want to go. Or simply said, well, you know what? Every time I go to Aunt Erna, there's some anxiety, that stress that comes back. Is it because he had a previous experience at Aunt Erna's house when he was a child? And it reminded him of that, and he says, no, I'm never going to go back to Aunt Erna. So how do you make that decision when all of this is not being talked about? He simply says, I don't think it's going to work, and left everyone hanging. So how do you make decisions when you are not honest with yourself in your heart and you're not explaining away what truly made you say what you said. Do you follow me? Yeah? I think Paul is just really trying to put it back and to say, be honest with yourself. Simply said, be honest with yourself as much as you know. And then if you are in that place even right now, and then ask others to say, hey, how do you read me? Do you know why I said what I said? Ask for an opinion from someone else to be able to speak into your life. Or just say, Holy Spirit, what is really in my heart? I don't even know why I do what I do. Sometimes I say things and I'm just wondering, why did I say that? Ask the Holy Spirit just in that moment to say, Holy Spirit, would you just reveal to me what is in my own heart? Just remember, the Holy Spirit, okay, for some of you will remember this. Remember Jack Sparrow's compass in Pirates of the Caribbean? You remember that? Jack Sparrow was the only one who actually understood that compass. Why? Because his compass would always point to his heart. And no one knew what was in his heart. And so when every time Jack Sparrow looks at his compass, even though it even wouldn't agree with it all the time, but he knew that in his heart, he knew where he needed to go. But how about this? Even if you look at your heart and you're being honest about the decisions, why you do what you do, but in previous generations, very often, people on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day would have to work on the farm, and they couldn't go to the family gathering because someone had to stay on the farm. That's a decision that you have not made. It was actually placed upon you, the expectation, and so you didn't go. And so now you are misunderstood. How about in other cultures? How often do you have a chance, and I've traveled globally in a lot of different places, where you don't have a choice to say whom you're going to marry? You don't have a choice. Or where are you going to work? Because this is what grandpa did, this is what my dad did, this is what you have to do. But what about here, just currently in our own kind of what we say in our Western culture, we have swung very much onto this thing, well, do whatever you want to do. Whatever kind of pleases you, do whatever you want to do. And there's so many choices that the youth today has to face. If it is just simply said, do whatever you want to do, but what is it that I want to do? I want to do many things. And you wonder why the youth of today is dealing with so much anxiety, so much fear. Why? Because there's so many choices, and the choices are not, they're all, even though they're all heartfelt choices, but they're not the right choices. So how do you as a family help children to make the right choice? And I think this is where it becomes kind of difficult. And very often when it is that difficult, then you have to stop in your tracks and you have to ask yourself the question, can I really trust my own heart in how I make decisions? Do I trust my own heart? And if you are at that place and you are at a crossroad in making decisions and you don't know how to make that a wise decision, then most likely, I would say, and this is the point number two, and we're going to talk about that, you may have to align yourself with Jesus' heart. If you are at that place where you feel like, I don't know if I can trust my heart, then that may be the place where you will have to, probably I need to align my heart with his heart. And so Paul started by acknowledging in that his own heart that he wanted to explain himself why he couldn't come. But then in verse 17 and 19, let me read again these verses, because this is the kind of the narrative, the story that happens in Paul's own mind. And we have to have that narrative too in our own minds when we are faced in places where there's a roadblock and we don't know where to go. Paul says, was I vacillating when I wanted to do this? Do I make my plans according to the flesh, ready to say yes, yes, and no, no at the same time? As surely as God is faithful, he says, our word to you has not been just yes and no, For the Son of God, Jesus, whom we proclaimed among you, and also Silvanus and Timothy and I, was not just yes and no, but in him it is always yes. This is the kind of the part in the narrative of the story of how we make decisions. Do I really want to venture out to place my trust not in my own flesh and how I feel in my heart? Am I willing to trust that when I speak, that I know that I have his approval, his heart in my heart? In other words, it's not what is in my heart that counts. It is what is in Jesus' heart. Jesus would say, teach his disciples how to pray, and he would say, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. How? Where? How? On earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done on earth, here in my moment, right now, trying to make a wise decision. Let your will be done right here in this moment as it is in heaven. Aligning yourself with Jesus' heart. Why would you want to do that? Because we have someone who profoundly and deeply and intimately cares about your well-being and that of your family, even around Christmas time, even with your children, or even in your job placement. There is someone who profoundly cares about everything that you decide to do. So it may look like there is a yes and a no. It looks like you could be vacillating, and others would judge you. Just make up your mind what you want to do. Make up your mind. But sometimes you will have to be so honest and so vulnerable and be able to say, I don't know, God. I don't know what this is going to look like. And I'm going to trust that you have the answer for me. And Paul says, God's answer for me will always be yes. Why? Remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was going down the path towards crucifixion, and he says, if it's all possible, if it's all possible, don't let me go down that way to the cross. If it's all possible, don't. But then how does Jesus respond back to the Father? What does he say? Say that again. How? Not my will. Not what my heart is saying right now. But thy will be done in me. Lord, this is what I want to do, Paul could have said. Nevertheless, no, not my will, but thy will be done in me. In other words, Jesus' heart is always fully aligned that with the Father. If Jesus, who is the Son of the living God, and as we read in the Gospel of John chapter 5 verse 17, Jesus testifies to the Father, and he says, to this very day, the Father is always working. Always. Even when you don't see him, and even if you don't feel him, the Father is always at work. But Jesus says, I can do nothing on my own. Jesus, who is the Son of God, says, I can do nothing on my own. I can only do what the Father shows me, what I have to do. Does it show that Jesus is weak? No, it shows that Jesus is submitting himself to the Father's will. And he says, I will align my heart, my desires, my wishes with the Father's heart. And then I will move out of that place because I know he's going to show, he's going to love me, he's going to guide me, he's going to lead me onto the path of righteousness. I know that, and I need to trust him that for it. Paul could have said, if it would have been according to my desires and my wishes, and according to my affections, my decision would have been, I wanted to see you. Not only once, twice, three times, but by the way, things did not pan out. Didn't pan out. So yes, Paul says, even though I am your spiritual father, even though I have a place of authority over you, I don't trust my own heart. I don't trust my own heart. And some of you, you are in a place where you have to make a very difficult decision, even right now, and you're processing that, and you don't know where to go, and you could just simply say, I cannot trust my own heart. Then align your heart with the heart of Jesus, who then says, my yes and my no, they're all yes in Him who has said, it is fulfilled, it is done. I have a path for you, a path that is perfect, a path that is good, a path that is peaceful, a path that will not stress you out over anxiety, over things that really don't matter. Because I have you in view, I watch over you. So yes, it is important for us to allow ourselves just to be vulnerable in that moment. And this, my friend, is countercultural to our society in which we live. This is so countercultural. Who are you? Like, why would you say, let me talk to God about it? Like, what do you think? No, I'm just inviting you this morning that to live a cross culture where the cross becomes the center of our existence, then we need to trust the one who has already gone down that path of making an incredible decision. And Jesus himself had to decide, do I go down the path of the cross to die for the world, for the sin of everyone, of all of us? Do I allow myself to go with how I feel in my heart? Or do I allow the Father's will to be done? And I want you to know something here this morning. Even though sometimes you would feel like that would be too vulnerable or too risky to trust Jesus for your decisions, and even if things don't pan out right now the way you think it should be, trust Him that one day He could actually do it immensely more and give you back what you were asking and you're thinking you should be doing. He will give it back to you immensely more. But you will have to wait on Him and allow Him to help you to go through that pattern of dying to yourself, dying to your wishes and desires. And it may be for some of you, this would be an incredible moment because you are in a decision about whom you should date or with whom you should go out. And the person that you're thinking about is a person in question. It's not the right person. And you feel like even as a parent, you would like to tell your children, ah, you shouldn't do that. No, don't go in there. And maybe you as a parent, even this morning, be able to say, then I will have to surrender that peace and bring it to God and to say, in your time, would you reveal that to my child, to the kid in my family? Would you reveal that? And God will do it. He will do it. Marianne and I, we have three adult children. And there was a summer where all three of them were dating people that we did not agree. And we spent so much in prayer. So much in prayer. And then I know that those are tough decisions where, as a parent, how do you do this properly? But I know that God has a way of working in our own hearts and be able to say, well, even if you think you are the dad or the mom of this child and you have the right to say something, no, I don't know if you have the right. They're adults. You don't have much to say, but you have all the right to pray to God and say, Father, would you align my heart with your heart over this one? And would you help me through this moment right now? Our desires and our wishes very often will have to be put on the waiting list. And you will just have to wait. And maybe probably you're looking at changing a job and you think probably you could advance in your career in a different place and you're feeling that you are in a holding pattern right now and you don't know what to do. Would you just say that, Jesus, my heart says this. And just be honest about it and just say how you feel. Would you align my heart with your heart and teach me to wait? Help me just to wait on you. Maybe probably some of you have been longing to make a trip. And you've been waiting for it for a long time already. And you're just saying, God, I so wanted to go to Cancun. Sorry, my visa card is loaded. I have no time to go to Cancun. But just be honest, why wouldn't the Father want you to enjoy a week in Cancun? Why not? Because if I align myself with His will, very often that is the will of the Father already. And you don't know that, and sometimes you just have to be as bold as possible to say, okay, we'll take the risk. What are you going to lose? And then in that struggle, and in that decision making, you find peace. In the midst of the not knowing, you find peace. And it's probably that is what He wants you to have this morning. Probably be able to say, I cannot figure this out, and I will rely on You, and I will be at peace. And that's the gift that He wants you to have this morning, is peace over a decision that you cannot make. We want to finish this morning. And I know that we do believe in miracles. And then there is also that supernatural way of God intervening in our lives when decisions have to be made and we don't know what to do and how to go about it. God can surprise us all with His presence. And it may be for you this morning, God wants to surprise you, and He wants to touch you, and He wants to kind of minister over you, and He will just say, would you just be honest with yourself in your heart, and just align your heart with My heart this morning? Just align your heart with My heart. And be honest with them. And I'm going to ask you right now, would you just open up your hands and just put them on your lap? And there may be something that is pressing on you right now. And you feel the weightiness of the moment. And the time is clicking. And you feel like you need to move on. Or there are decisions in your family, even for Christmas planning, as simple as that. Whatever that is that you, it is weighing on you right now. Would you just say, Father, I'm honest with You. I want You to take this from me. It's too big for me. I don't know what to do. Holy Spirit, would You align my heart with the Father's heart? And I pray, Father, that in this moment, You would surprise everyone here present with the miracle of the Holy Spirit and align Your will with the will and the desires and the wishes of all of those who are calling on Your name right now. Take a deep breath in and just release it to God. Just say, here it is. I'm giving it to You. I would say in my youthful years, one of the greatest decision that I have ever made was when I was 6 years old. My dad, who is an evangelist, and was not at home with my mom. And my oldest sister, who is 2 years older than myself, and then I have a brother and then myself. I'm the middle and out of five siblings. And my father wasn't home, and my sister, who was at that time 8 years old, comes down into our bedroom. And she asked the question, Delbert and my brother Daniel, do you know where you're going to go when you would ever pass away from this earth to the next life? And we said, no. And she says, I want you to consider to give your heart to Jesus. And I remember a simple prayer. We kneeled at our beds and we just prayed a simple prayer. Jesus, I want You to come into my heart. That was the most important decision I have ever made in my life. Poverty for some of you, that is the beginning. A simple prayer, and to say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord over my decisions. I can't do it on my own. Would you just come into my life? This is probably the most important decision you can make. And if you make that decision, it's not just a right decision, that is a righteous decision. That's a righteous decision. Inviting the Creator, the Sustainer, the all-knowing, almighty, all-powerful God to come into your life.
Thank you for tuning in to the Gateway North podcast. We hope you've been challenged and inspired from God's word. To find out more about Gateway Church, head to gatewaywinnipeg.com.